This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best tasting protein powder out there. Check them out at BlackStarLabs.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 168. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. What's up, Lee?
Got a new blog post coming out with lots of people with pictures. Everyone's going to like it. It's a body fat picture blog post. I think people have been asking for it for like, I don't know, 2 years now. I'm doing it.
Is this where you kind of like, you look at pictures and you kind of basically tell them what their body fat percentage is by looking at?
Well, I did that in the series of like videos like forever ago. And I thought about doing that again. And I figured that there'd be like this other onslaught of people sending in pictures of their half naked selves, which, I mean, it's never a bad thing. Hey, you know, I'm open, I'm kinky, but, yeah. But no, like basically it's this post, at least something else could happen from it, but this post is just like a reference guide post. And, it's kind of like the video that I made, but put into a blog post because people were like, oh my God, 30 minutes on a video. That's just too much for me. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll make it into a blog post. And then it only took me like 2 years to do it. But, I know people will probably be happy about that. So it's going to be up Monday and it's good.
That's very about cool. All.
Yeah. What up with you, Kevin? I saw those t-shirts came in.
T-shirts are in there next to my bed. Yeah. We actually ended up getting men's and women's sizes in black, our men's and women's t-shirts in black, and also only men's in gray and medium and large, and then women's in white sizes, small and medium. And I lots of backlash about the t-shirts, asking why I didn't get multiple sizes in multiple different colors. Why aren't there XXLs? Multiple reasons. One, because I don't have a lot of money, so I can't spend like $14,000 on t-shirts, because this stuff is diamond studded. I didn't cheap out this time. I went with the diamond studded 50 cent edition.
Nice. You get a bottle of vitamin water with every purchase as well?
No, but you get a coupon for 50% off a bulletproof vest.
Oh, there you go.
It's 50% or 50 cents. I can't remember, but it's one of the two. The t-shirts, no, but for real, the t-shirts are really nice. And we do have t-shirt size restrictions. If you want an XXL, we have XXL in the old logo. The old logo is still pretty awesome, especially if you're a dude. That's a kick-ass t-shirt to be wearing into the gym. And I think you guys really like them. But the deal with the t-shirts, in all honesty, I actually went with a higher quality t-shirt, and we went with a better quality print because we have a couple more colors on the logo, and it's a little bit more, not sophisticated, but it's a little bit more complicated on the logo. So we actually had to go with a better print for it. That costs quite a bit of money. So there was that on top of the t-shirts, on top of, I'm actually going to be mailing all the t-shirts via priority mail now, since a good two-thirds of all the shirts that left this country never made it to people. So there's tons of postal workers or, you know, something like that wearing our t-shirts, which I guess is still good, but you guys that paid for them never got t-shirts, even after I sent them two or three times, which is fantastic.
Bastards.
Yeah, bastards. And the, I swear to God, it was Newman. Newman.
Newman.
Zip codes. They're meaningless. I'm sorry. I totally ruined that quote, but it's something like that. If you want a t-shirt, the deal is they're $22. And again, they're going to be ship priority. So if you live in the United States, you're going to get it within 3 days. And I'm going to try to send them out on Wednesday and on Monday. Or I should say on Thursday and on Monday. So I can print out all the postage at my house and then just drop them off in the mailbox on the way to work. But that's the deal. If you want to email me beforehand to see if we have a size in the color that you want, you can do so at kevin@thefitcast.com. But they are going quickly. I think we already sold like 12 or 13 of them. So if you want to get in on that and make sure you have a size that will work for you, that would be great. And In all honesty, this is how we support the show. Like, these t-shirts are not free. I literally had to drop hundreds of dollars to buy these t-shirts because you guys requested different sizes and colors. So now I'm going to ask you to put your money where your mouth is and help me move out of my house, or my parents' house, I should say. You can all make it happen. It's just, you know,
every, we work together.
Every dollar counts. Every mm-hmm. dollar counts. So that's cool. And also, FitCast Accountability blog update real quick. Well, there's an update on the website, and in about 2 hours, I'm going to be recording a roundtable with a bunch of the people that are doing that. So I don't know if that's going to be at the end of the show. I'm going to post it separately. I don't know yet. You'll figure out.
Are you really? So is everyone, you going to talk to everybody on Skype? Or are you doing like a conference or something?
Yeah, we're just, I think right now it's 5 out of the 11 are going to be going on Skype. And they emailed me a bunch of topics that they want to cover. And basically what we have so far, I'll give you a couple of them. Sticking to goals, how long to wait to determine if what you're currently is doing is working or not working. Post-interval training nutrition, stuff like that. So it should be a fun time, and it should be you know, hopefully it will be illuminating, and it will help some of you other guys out there who are doing something like this, or you're dieting or having trouble sticking to a program. I'm sure a lot of these guys will help you. You'll relate to a lot of these stories that we're going to have, and kind of the boundaries that they're running into. And one big thing is that someone emailed me progress frustration, you know, not getting results quick enough, stuff like that. So we'll, and I'm talking all about that. I'm hoping it's only going to be like half an hour long, but I have a feeling it's going to be longer than that.
Just one phone call, I find, with people ends up going into an hour. So I'm definitely for covering this kind of topic. But I'd love to sit in on one of those one time.
Yeah, I know. It'd be, I'm sure it's going to be a ton of fun. And, you know, it makes my Sunday a little bit more enjoyable to sit at the computer and you know, talk to people. That wasn't sarcasm, actually, doing that. I can see how it can.
No, it is fun. I enjoy it too. It's doing a bunch of consults, like, kind of like completely changed the way that I look at what I want to do. I've been talking to just random people and kind of, I don't know, having one of those what do I want to do with my life and career kind of things, and definitely like doing consults and distance things has put a big light bulb in my head about stuff. So I definitely enjoy it too. It's good stuff. That's cool. You know, and I wanted to ask you real quick, what is this that you're doing where you randomly are posting a question on Facebook and then answering it? What is that?
That's not me post those questions. I'm actually not going to be doing that anymore because I had, like, people have been being like, I don't want you updating shit every 10 seconds. The kids can deal with one S word. You can, don't worry about it. Basically, there's this thing called formspring.me. It's like Twitter, but if people go to formspring.me, and I'm still going to answer the questions on this site, but the basically what it is Twitter, and the more or less. And what you can do is you can actually ask questions anonymously, and the which I think is kind of cool because I don't think a lot of people – I mean, you're kind of anonymous when you write into the show, but I think some people might just have a quick question. Like, well, let me scroll down. Like, one of the ones were, what are your thoughts on diet soda? Or one was, like, I can do 10 dips on bars, but I can't do a single dip on my TRX. Do you have any tips? And I was like, never use the TRX for dips. It's not what it's for. I don't know. I think it was kind of cool. It was just like another way I was looking to reach out to the community. And, you know, if I see like a couple of those, I can bang out a couple answers real quick in between sessions at work. And I don't know. It was something I was playing around with. I heard about it, and I think it might be the new, I think it might be the new hotness once the, you know, the end or the mid year rolls around, because I think it's going to be something that's pretty big.
I thought it was cool. I kept catching because it did update a lot. And I was like, what is this? And No, and then I went to the link of it and it said FormSpring, but I didn't understand it because I'm like 12 when it comes to these things, so it takes me a while to catch on. But no, it seemed kind of interesting, and I thought some of your answers were cool. So yeah, I was just curious what that was.
I'm sure some people will disagree with my answers because I have my own opinions on things, and other people have their own opinions. That's why it's very much like getting to this point where once I start having my own opinions, I figure out everyone else has like completely different opinions, and people can't accept that I have my own opinions on things, and they want to convince me of their opinions. I understand it, but man, it makes it for an interesting industry. We just don't have one answer for anything in this. It's not like we're not mathematicians. We're, you know, quantum theory or quantum mechanics would be a cool little thing to have. Maybe I could create a time machine, but I don't think I'll be able to. Wow, we're so off topic.
Just a little bit. That's okay.
Lastly, a couple upcoming guests. I'm in contact with Valerie Waters. We've been emailing back and forth. She is seeing if we can hammer out a time to do an interview. Awesome. Also, Adam Bornstein, who I met this week at Boyle's for Men's Health and saw again yesterday at Crisp Performance. He's going to be coming on the show probably next week once he is. Dude's been traveling. Dude's been all like that. He hasn't been home in 14 days. He's been flying all over the place for Men's Health. So I'm sure he's looking forward to getting home. And also, people have been asking for Todd Durkin, who I'm in contact with his assistant. So we'll see what comes of that. Doing my best, guys. And I think we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go into the mailbag. Some great stuff coming up, including Jillian Michaels' fantastic new fat loss pills. So stick around for that. It's going to be epic. All right, time for the mailbag. First question that we have comes from Kyle. I'm going to shoot this over to you, Lee. He says, not sure if you guys saw this latest lawsuit against Jillian Michaels for false advertising claims on her fat loss pills. He includes a link, but thought it would make for a good dialogue on the show. Cheers. So obviously he's from the UK. Lee, have you heard about this?
I have. And I'm probably gonna let down a few listeners, and I'm gonna be honest that when I first heard it, I got a little bit of a giggle because let's be honest, it's Jillian Michaels. But I actually think it's a BS suit. You know, I actually think it's a BS suit because I've read the statements or whatever, and there's lots of if you will, asterisks. You know, making sure that it's like in accordance with following a da 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 kind of diet and with da 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 kind of exercise, and as much as I don't like Jillian Michaels and I don't like her supplements and I think that her fat burner is crap and all that kind of stuff, it does follow within FCC guidelines. I think it's a crap suit. I don't think it'll go anywhere, and I think the woman just spent a couple $100 on filing a suit for nothing, you know. But it's tricky when you're dealing with the FCC and when you're dealing with what's right and what's wrong and people's interpretations of things. And I am inclined to always, you know, I don't like any of these kind of things, slim, quick, you know, the Hydra cut and all those kind of things. I think they're much worse than what Jillian Michaels was saying on her thing, funny enough. And I'm not a fan, but I'm just being honest. Just being honest.
Yeah, she's crazy.
yeah, I mean, you know, it's just if you look at the HydraCut commercials where the plump and happy woman is walking into the pool and then she walks out of the pool and she's just magically thinner. I think it's a little bit worse than Jillian Michael. You know, when her Adam's apple just talking straight at you about how you're going to lose some weight and you have to take her supplement beforehand to increase that fat burning chance. And technically by research, you could support it technically in a court through a lot of loopholes, but that's what court's about, is finding the loopholes. So I don't think there'll be an issue. But Yeah, it's interesting. And I did get a giggle about it.
You called out the alleged testosterone levels of Jillian Michaels.
Look, her and this, I there's no judgment. I'm not judging, you know.
Does she have like a boyfriend? I'm not interested. I'm just saying like how.
I think she's slowly coming out. I think that's what I'm. Yeah, I think there's a slow coming out there because someone sent me a link about her. I get links all the time about Jillian Michaels, but someone sent me a link about her saying something about her being bisexual in Ladies Home Journal or something, and she's quote unquote business partners with that Jackie Warner woman who's the lesbian on Bravo trainer.
I was going to say she can get her own show on Bravo now.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a slow coming out, which is fine. Hey, that's all good. You know.
Indeed.
It's fine. I was just being obnoxious talking about her because I don't like her. That's all.
She's a poopy face.
Oh, yes. Yes, that is the term I would use. Next question.
This is coming from Kid. You want to grab that one, Lee?
I'm going to read it to you, Kevin.
Aww.
Kevin, quick question. I'm interested in doing 531 and incorporating it into a fat loss style program. What are your thoughts and ideas on how to go about doing so? I think you said you were going to try and do that within your last phase of Destination Abs, and I was thinking of using the four main lifts but incorporating BB complexes on two of the days. Thoughts, good idea or bad, Katie?
This is very interesting because Lee and I just had a conversation about this.
We did?
And I think the best way to answer this question is to both give our thoughts on it. In terms of 531 for fat loss, is it doable? Sure, but again, it's the problem that I run into is that the calorie consumption that I have going on right now, and it wouldn't be super appropriate as Lee will talk about, but I still think it's a great program, and if you're in like a lighter deficit, sure. Yeah, it would be great. But the thing that kind of popped up is that using the four main lifts, then incorporating body barbell complexes on two of the days, that's going to be a lot. And that's a lot just with the program. Like the 531, you got to keep in mind, is a ton of volume. It was so much volume that it made me a lot stronger, but my legs are toast. Like after I finished week three last week and my legs are still, they're still barking, and it's actually caused me to run into some issues with my lower body stuff right now. But I think if you're eating at maintenance or over, I think 5-1 is a fantastic program for getting dudes bigger and stronger. But Lee, what's your take?
I definitely agree with that. And it's just whenever you go into a fat loss phase, the general rule of thumb is to kind of decrease your volume, and 531 is volume heavy. And then, like you said, talking about throwing in, you know, some extra complexes, I just think that it would be extreme overload. Can you do it? Sure, you can do it. You can do anything. How well we respond to it, you can test it out and see how well you respond to it. And some people could respond to it just fine. Some people, most people, I think, would not respond that well to it. I don't think that when he wrote the program, he wrote it in mind for that. I think he wrote it in mind for getting strong, gaining some mass. And I think that when you're looking at it in those manners, that you should probably try and stick to a minimal deficit if you're going to do fat loss or maintenance or surplus. So, yeah, pretty much in absolute agreement with you there, Kevin.
That's pretty hardcore, Katie, doing 5-1. I think it's a good program for men and women,
program.
But
yeah, definitely support it. And you know, if you're going through like some, let me make a little, you know, thing. If you're going through a little bit of a body recomposition phase, if you're trying to, you know, keep the calories just, you know, at a slight deficit to maybe make some alterations in like your look, like say you're, you know, just going like maybe 250 calories below your day's needs or something like that. You keep your post-workout nutrition really, really strong. I could see how it could, you know, be really great for that. So just look at how you react and look at how strong the deficit is, because really it's the intensity of the deficit that's going to set the tone for your training, you know, to a certain degree. So just to throw that out there.
Cool. It's we got a question coming all the way from Berlin, freezing Berlin, from Robin. So Lee, she says, happy winter, guys and gal. It's been snow and ice on the ground for over 6 weeks, and I want to do a few running events this spring with friends, but I cannot do any speed work outside on this sludge. What kind of weightlifting program do you recommend for someone doing mid-range running, 5K to half marathon?
You know, I mean, it depends on equipment. I know that seems like maybe kind of a cop-out answer, but it kind of depends on what you have available to you. So I'm going to give like just kind of some general answers of what you can do. And I mean, one, when you're doing any sort of, I mean, you are running. And I will say that when you're running or when your goal is to be running, the best thing to do for that is to run. You know, you get better at running by running more. So basically the best thing that you can do if you can't really run right now is to make your body stronger, make it in more balance and things like that. So, you know, if you're a client of mine and you really couldn't run, you came to me, well, then I'd probably take this time, honestly, to focus on maybe if you're having any sort of mobility issues, making yourself stronger in certain areas. If you're kind of weaker, you know, like a lot of runners have constant problems with, you know, their hips or with, you know, tie-dye T-bands and, you know, just all kinds of things like that. I'd probably take the time to focus on doing some things like that and just getting you just a little stronger in general. So, you know, the program can kind of be whatever you really want it to be that does something like that. And it's a good, just solid program, you know, that focuses on things like that. It's, you know, I mean, you can definitely throw in drills, you know, you can throw in, you know, some indoor, you know, sprint activities. You could throw in all kinds of things like that. But, you know, I think that you could maybe take this as some time to focus on maybe fixing up those little areas that might be lacking in general. I don't know. You know, what do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, I totally agree. Lift some weights. This is your off season. I mean, if you look at it like you're an athlete, Robin, yeah, this is your off season. This is your time to basically build up, you know, a solid foundation before you start weathering the storm and start beating the crap out of your body. And unfortunately, that's what running does. It is very, it's very high impact on your body, and make sure you're doing, like Lee said, do the mobility work, strengthen your lower body, do a lot of single leg work, work on doing a lot of glute activation stuff, X-band walks. That's going to pay huge dividends when it comes to, you know, when the snow melts and the sun starts coming up a little bit earlier and you can actually get out there in the morning. Just don't be in a hurry. Like I've learned that myself. You can't, you can't be in a hurry. Make this your off season, because that's what it is. Sometimes, I sometimes scoff at when people think of themselves as athletes now, and you know, when they're 30 years old and they're still doing agility work and ladder drills for what? Like, you know, you're not competing anymore. But for you, that you're still an athlete. You're competing. If you're gonna do stuff like a 5K or a half marathon, damn, you got to be in not pretty good shape. You got to be in really good shape to do those and make sure that you actually get through them without, like, you know, potentially having to go to a chiropractor or a PT to get worked on. Like, I see way too many runners that go to chiropractors for back issues, and you never would have thought that, but it's a huge issue that folks like you tend to run into. So just chill out inside. It's nice and warm. Come on. Who wants to go outside when it's freezing cold? I guess you're looking for stuff to do indoors anyways. But Lee, I get another question from Peter from he's a Swede living in Norway. I know Peter. First off, thanks for the FitCast. It's been a great source for me to get useful information about training and nutrition. It's really hard to find that knowledge here in Scandinavia. I'm a Swede living in Norway for the moment. Anyway, I would really appreciate if you could help me out. After about 4 months without workouts due to mono, I will now start to get back into shape. I've decided to take it real easy and focus on movements and mobility for 3 months. During this period, I will work almost exclusively with body weight. The reason for this is that I had a lot of issues with both hips and shoulders prior to my sickness. As if that were not enough, I also have been suffering from a chronic jumper's knee since I was a teenager. Today, I'm 34. I think my shoulder problems come from a dislocated shoulder a couple of years ago. While I don't have any good explanation why my hips hurt, on the last podcast, you mentioned, and I think he's talking to me, some books that I think could be useful, Bulletproof Knees and a book from Mike Boyle. What books would you recommend for me to read? Would also appreciate any other advices you might have. Keep up the good work. And again, that's from Peter.
Well, poor Peter. Peter's banged up, man.
Yeah, he's hurting.
I think that this would be a great time to make a plug for Assess and Correct.
Totally.
I think it'd be a good time to break out something like that, Peter, because it covers a range of full body. You've got a little video and you've got a little ebook as well to look at things. It's great. I also recommend Gray Cook's Body and Balance. I think that's a good book. Not one that's thrown on as much anymore, but always been one of my favorites. So those two things are great. And of course, I mean, anything in general by Hartman and Robertson and Cresty, I mean, it's going to be money well spent and good stuff. But I'm a fan of the Assess and Correct overall. I think it covers full body very good. Mike throws in his self-myofascial release guide, which I think will be very beneficial for you. Get the foam rolling in as well. I think that's what I like, Kevin.
The one thing I was going to throw in there, I totally lost my train of thought, but I don't think just because of all those injuries doesn't mean you can't pick up a weight. I hear what he's saying, like he doesn't want to go balls out or anything, but you don't have to. You can still do quite a bit with weights once you start getting into more of the corrective side of things.
I think this is a good point to throw in the fact that corrective work doesn't mean no lifting.
Exactly.
Great point. So many people don't understand that, like the stretching and the relaxing is just one part of it. Getting strong to combat those weaknesses is the other. So very, very nice catch there, Kevin.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people went up. Unfortunately, I've seen it a lot with like personal training clients who'll be like, "Oh yeah, I hurt my shoulder, so I can't lift for the next month." I'm like, "Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
no, you can. You don't worry. We can do stuff without that shoulder. We don't need to use it. You can still get in a great training session, even working around injuries. And sometimes." A lot of times I'm stealing this from multiple people, but a lot of times those corrective exercises the assessment is also the warm up is also an exercise, and the exercise is also a warm up kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
I totally stole that from someone, but I probably paid to go see their seminar, so I can do that.
Sure you did, so it doesn't matter.
All right. We have another question from Nathan Lee, do you want to take that one?
I will. Hey, just started listening to the FitCast and love it. I have two questions for you guys. First of all, will you be going to the Arnold Fitness Expo in Columbus, Ohio, the first weekend in March? I know a lot of fitness people are coming, and I live here, so I was seeing if you guys would be coming out to take part of the activities. Let me know. I would love to meet you. Second of all, I scrolled down too much. Second of all, I just started training and can't afford a personal trainer, but I'm having trouble coming up with a schedule to keep. Do you guys have any ideas on how I could get a routine that would help me get results? Nathan.
That's an interesting question, Nathan. Are we going to be at the Arnold? No. Unfortunately not. Like I even have a buddy who's going down there, and I was talking with him yesterday, and I really was thinking about going. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. He's going to be lifting there, but I don't think I'm going to end up making down there. And in regards to not being able to afford a personal trainer and keeping up his schedule. Do you want a program? Like, I'm guessing that's what you're asking. Do you want a recommendation?
I think what he's saying is, one, I think he needs a program, but two, kind of how can he, you know, kind of accountability. I think there's a little bit of that, like, how can I keep on schedule and keep on a routine, you know, without having someone.
Forms. I mean, I think one of the things, I mean, we've talked about forms in the past, and I think one of the great things is either starting a blog or, you know, getting a friend to train with you, or, you know, a lot of forums have, like, training logs, and you can actually keep up in there. You can get support and stuff like that. I think that's another good way to do it. But, Lee, what do you got?
Absolutely. And, you know, since you're in Columbus, Ohio, and it's a little bit of a bigger area, highly recommend going to meetup.com. And there's always, like, if you're looking for an in-person kind of thing, you know, because Kevin covered the online, there's always people forming, like, various groups, like weightlifting groups or, you know, exercise groups and things like that. And usually people that are so into it that they'll, you know, do a meetup, that they'll be interested in kind of hanging out with people like that, they more than likely are going to know their stuff. You can get some tips from them. You can get workout training partners from them and things like that. And, you know, it may seem a little weird at first to just meet up with people like that, because I know people get, like, kind of hesitant, but yeah, it's common interest and you can end up making friends at the same time. So that's, like, a kind of local way that's free that you could maybe add a little to that. And then, it's, you know, as far as routines or programs and things like that, you don't know what you're doing. Just buy someone who knows what they're doing. And, you know, there's everything from DOS to Cressy to, I mean, just everything's out there. New Rules of Lifting, $18, buy a program, it's solid, and, you know, do it. So.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Next question that we have comes from Benjamin. It actually just says Ben, but I like Benjamin better. Hey, Kevin and Fitcast crew, I have a...
Wait, you can't just add... You can't just add that to somebody's name.
Well, I think Benjamin
is... Because his name's Ben doesn't mean that his name's going to be Benjamin.
I'm just saying, there's a pretty solid chance that
his name could be Benny.
Benji?
Or it could just be Ben. Yeah, see? No.
Bennigan's?
Whatever.
Are you named after a restaurant?
Decent restaurant. Got some decent food there.
I'm just saying, no, Benjamin's a good name. And
I want Ben to write in and tell us if that's his full name.
Ben, actually just photocopy your social security card and mail it to me. Or scan it and email it to me, and also any kind of credit card, and just so we can get proof. Anyways, question. Hey, Kevin and Fitcast crew. I have sort of a double chin that I'm really self-conscious about. It's not really bad, but it bothers me. If I gain weight, it seems to show in my face first. However, over the last year, I've literally gotten to as low body fat percentage as I can. I have very well-defined abs, and I am at the point where trying to lose any more body fat would require a ridiculous amount of sacrifice and commitment. But I still have that little bit of fat on my neck/chin area. I know that you always say that spot reduction doesn't exist, but is there anything else that I can do? I see some people that easily have 10% more body fat than me, but it doesn't show on their face at all. It's really frustrating. In a way, losing so much fat has almost made it worse, because now even if I gain a few pounds back, it all goes to my face. Any suggestions are welcome. Much of the reason we train is for confidence and physical appearance. It is frustrating to put so much effort into my body and still have this thing that bothers me. Friends have said, if you really feel so self-conscious about it, just get surgery. I really want to avoid that route, Ben.
Welcome to my world, Ben. I am victim of a double chin at no matter what body fat level I have. I'm serious. And it's one of those things that I'm sure it's more exaggerated in your mind and in my mind than it is in actuality, but still, absolutely know where you're coming from. So, the reason more than likely why is if it's two primary reasons. One, it's just where you store fat, or two, you just don't have a very strongly defined jaw line, and I don't either, and it, so when you don't have a strongly defined jaw line, it just makes it harder. It makes it harder for you to have a defined look in that area. Obviously, the first thing to tell someone to do in that way is just lose fat, And it does take an extreme amount of fat if that's a problem area to lose, and you know, in order to make it go away. You said that you kind of can't really do that. The other thing that you can tell someone to do is to get surgery where you can either have it, you know, lipoed or put a chin implant in to where it makes you yourself have a elongated jaw line. You don't want to do that either, and you know, that's fine. So what can you do? One of the things that you can do, and a really big trick, and it actually, I mean, it really is a true thing. If my posture, and it's going to seem like this is such a cop-out answer, but it's 100% true. My posture, when it is bad, if I've been slacking on my mobility work, and if I've been slacking on having good posture and things like that, it is noticeably worse. If you go to the mirror, you pull your shoulders back, you put your head up, and you kind of go into the proper position that you should be, double chin kind of disappears. There's a lot that you can do with your posture that really does affect how something like that looks. Even there's a gadget that they released recently. It's this like make your double chin gadget go away, right? And
totally saw that, the chin tuck
thing. Yeah, the chin tuck thing, right? And basically what that works on is the principle of aligning your head and your posture in order to work, you know, to be better, because you can severely change how that reacts. The problem, I mean, it really is, it becomes a force thing, and you have to put extreme focus on it if it's not something that naturally happens. And I've literally made women's chins disappear by just altering their posture, and nothing has actually changed within the makeup and body composition. So what I recommend doing is looking into good mobility program and making sure that you have as much balance there as possible. The big keys at the top of the body is going to be, loosen up your your trap area. My mind went blank for a second. Make sure your scapulas are stronger, your chest isn't so tight, because usually this happens to people when it affects in the chin area. You have the head tilt, you have kind of like a little bit of a turtleneck going on, your shoulders round, and weak scapulas, tight chest, it's very classic kind of hunchback, if you will. So if that's happening, make sure that everything's drawn back. A tip that you could try and do, Julie Keen from JP Fitness had me do this, and I've done it to so many people since, is to take and put athletic sports tape on your back in an X from top of the shoulder blade down all the way to the bottom, and do it into an X, and it automatically kind of forces you to be kind of hyper aware. Some people argue about forced posture. I don't think that you should completely just depend on a forced posture. I think it just helps you keep aware of keeping your core braced, and just keeping up good habits with sitting, moving around, and how you move. It's not going to fix it, but it's kind of an aware thing. You mix that with making yourself stronger, loosening up tight things, etc. So, I think try and focus on that and see what that can help. I mean, if you literally go to the mirror and, you stand up straight, draw your shoulders back, and then put your head up as high as you can as if that you're trying to push up a ceiling that's not there, and then draw your chin underneath so that you're in like a straight position, you will absolutely see the line of your chin just straighten up, suck underneath your neck, and disappear. So, that's a little tip. And focus on that, and it may take away your issue. You may always have kind of a loose skin there, and that's where, your skin is a little loose. But if you're standing up the way that you need to stand, and if you're walking the way you need to walk, no one's going to see it. No one's going to notice it. So, yeah.
Bam.
That's what I got, yo. Bust it. It's because I've had to deal with this problem. Double chin is unite.
DCU?
Yeah.
it's a quick side notes that I wanted to mention from the comments from last week's show. Matt mentioned that Cheerio is actually goodbye, and he wanted me that Cheerio is actually means goodbye and not hello. So John and I were talking about like British accents or how everyone from the UK should start their emails something kind of like, or like if you're from Ireland, every email should start with top of the morning to you. You know, other stereotypes like that. And yes. I thought it would, it had potential. And also Hannah, the high school soccer player, emailed me back and I can't find the email. It's because I spelled her name wrong when I was searching for it in my email box. But anyways, she actually emailed the show back to follow up and said that she trains at a 24-hour fitness because they offer free memberships for those on a varsity sports team, and that she was so sorry to cause a disagreement on the show and that she's psyched about the information that we gave her. So
was there disagreement?
John and I almost went to blows.
Oh, my God. I haven't listened to it yet. Oh. What is it about? Give me a cliff note.
Basically, it was about training as a high school soccer player. And John and I had complete disagreements. John was just like, lift. And, you know, you don't have to, I mean, I don't want to say exactly what John said, but he said like, lift. And my big thing was you have to do the agility stuff. You have to do the lateral work, for ACL prevention. And it was good. Like John and I disagreed on quite a few things last week. And
awesome. I can't download that episode.
Yeah, Daddy. I was
time to view up in here.
I was gonna say it's like, yeah, Dad. Son's all grown up now, so he can fight back. But
you're getting it next week. You know he's gonna listen to this.
He might, and if he does, John, all I have to say is, I'm right, you're wrong. And I think the people in the comments agreed with that. So anyways, Lee, do you want to grab the next email that we have that is from...
Karen. All right, hold on.
Hopefully it's not Karen. I have an Aunt Karen, but I don't think it's her.
From Karen. I work out in my home gym, and I was wondering what would be a good book of exercises I can keep in my gym area to easily look up exercises while working out. I know I can do something online, but since my computer is not in the gym, I was hoping to find a good written resource. Thank you for your input, Karen. I can think of two.
Oh, me too. The men's or women's health big book of exercises. Bam, done.
We're right there.
Done.
Right there.
Next question. Yeah. Right on Amazon. It's $14. I'm looking right now. For some reason, the men's version is $2 cheaper than the women's, but I'm pretty sure the women's the exact version same.
Does have me in
it. Oh, it has Lee Peel in it. That's right.
So, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, Karen.
Residuals. Come on. Help the residuals, right?
Yeah, I don't count them.
wow, this is a long-ass question from Michelle.
That's a really long question.
All right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read this question, and this is one we're going to finish up on. Actually, no, we have one more after that that's pretty quick, so we're just going to do the one from – who is it from? Michelle. Okay.
Do you want me to read it?
No, I'll take
– you're going to take it for the team?
I got this. We'll double team this one as well. This has got a couple questions in it. Hi, Kevin, Dr. J, Tony – don't ever say hi to Tony. He's never on the show. He actually, this is for Tony. He emailed me. I swear to God, I got this email at 10:05 last night after we talked at Crunch Performance about him coming on the show today. He said, "Dude, the subject was puts tail between legs with stars at the beginning and end," and it was said, "Dude, comma, I am so sorry. I know it seems like I do this every blanking week, but my sister and another fam came into Boston this afternoon. They're taking my nephew and niece to the Harry Potter exhibit, and I'm going to take some time in the AM to go with them." He's going to the friggin' Harry Potter exhibit again, folks.
You know, I can vouch for the fact that I swear he called and left me a message on my phone, and he was asking something about cold pressed flaxseed, I think. But I think he did mention being with family. So maybe he's not lying after all.
No, I don't know. I didn't have the problem with him missing the show. The problem was going to Museum of Science again to go look at the Harry Potter exhibit.
Oh, but it's Harry Potter and Tony.
Tony is like 40 years old. All right.
He is not.
He's a ripe 30. He's a ripe 30 years old.
Oh my God.
That's all I'm saying. And he looks just like Jason Statham, yet hates Jason Statham movies. It makes no sense.
How can you hate a Jason Statham movie?
I watched Death Race.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Not bad.
Yeah.
He kicks the blank out of people.
Like,
so it's good.
Just, if it has Jason Statham in it, I'm just like, that man is sex.
He's more jacked in this in Death Race than I've seen him in any movie too. So ladies,
I'd marry that man. Actually, no, you can't marry a man like that. You just got to have naughty doings.
Whoa, where are we going?
Hey, I censored. I stopped. I realized we were being recorded. Let's just ask the question. Moving on.
All right. All right. So anyways, and what up, Lee? I want to say how much I love the FitCast. Thanks for the great guests, the awesome discussions. Poop Talk was one of my faves. Interesting. And the endless knowledge bombs. This question is for Lee and is about food. First, my history. I'm a 37-year-old mother of two who recently completed Alan Cosgrove's Afterburn. I came out of those 16 weeks leaner than I've been in my adulthood and weighing what I did way back in my early college days. I lost 13 pounds in 6 weeks, dropped my body fat down by 6 points. Still waiting for final measurements, but I'd say I'm within about 7 pounds or so of where I possibly should be weight-wise to achieve 18% body fat, which is my goal. I have dieted in some form or another for a lot of my adulthood and feel that I consistently learn new things about my relationship with food. And I think we have to address that. Great job so far, Michelle.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
I did extremely well and was very disciplined throughout the nutrition plan and Afterburn. I even got through Halloween and through New Year's relatively unscathed. However, at about week 12 or 13, I hit a wall, and that's when the binges started. I don't have a history of binging, although overeating, I suppose, is a form of binging, and I certainly did that for many years. And maybe it was more to do with my awareness of what I eat, but I am troubled and concerned by the behavior I've been exhibiting lately. The trigger can be anything from a horrible hormonal change, that old monthly thing, to stress, to just eating one bite of my husband's dessert. Then once I've opened the door, a crack, it's like the processed carbs, sugars, and fats start storming in, and I actually just lose control. It is just this some sort of psychotic break, because when it's happening, I'm not able to rationalize with myself or make myself stop. A few times I've even thought about purging afterwards, although I never have. I tend to wake frequently the night after this happens with thoughts of what I ate, berating myself, and generally feeling like crap. This isn't healthy behavior, and while I realize it, I'm wondering what tools I could use to try to manage it. I've never experienced anything like this before, and it's hard because I really push myself in the gym, and I'm very disciplined with my eating, and I don't want these episodes to hinder my progress. I also just don't want to feel the way I do afterwards, physically or emotionally. I appreciate any insights or references you could point me towards. Thanks again for the great podcast, and keep up the good work, all of you. Thanks, Michelle. PS, I vote for gray tees, Kevin, but get some girls' t-shirts, please. I did, Michelle. I did.
Okay. All right. Well, first, congratulations.
Great email. Great email. Yeah.
Congratulations again, Michelle, for the success you have had. I want to say that when a question like this comes in, I mean, what we do is we kind of look at the hints or tips or insights into your personality, right? Like our job sometimes is to kind of psychoanalyze you a little bit and to kind of see what you've written in the question. So given what you've written, I don't see you as, like, you put things like, this hasn't really happened before. I've never really, you know, gone through this on a big level, things like that. You're kind of saying that this is, on this level, it's a new and induced thing. And saying that asks me, okay, well, what's changed? That's kind of where I go with that. If this is new, if this hasn't happened, what's changed? What seems to have changed is you're getting lower in body fat, you're training very aggressively, and you're severely restricting your calories. Okay, those are the things that have changed. So you have to kind of ask yourself, how much of this is emotional, disordered pattern behavior, and how much of this is a realistic physical response. Because when we're in a fat loss phase, we're constantly battling two things. We're battling the psychological issues we have about how we feel about we look and what we want and what we deserve and all those kind of things. And we're also combating and trying to battle the physiological responses that happen due to dieting down, to training, and things like that. Sometimes both of these things come together into a big crash boom and can result in things like this. And I think that that's what's likely happening in this situation. I think that, you know, perhaps maybe some small emotional and you know, psychological issues you're dealing with or combating with a severe, you know, physiological response that you could be having. You know, the Afterburn program, great, but it's aggressive. You know, it's intensive. And you obviously got result. You obviously are seeing, you know, a good response from it. But that doesn't mean that your body isn't, you know, it's on some level sort of freaking out. So I think one of the first things that you can do in this situation is to take control of what is easy to take control of. Mind and mental stuff, sometimes not so easy to take control of. And we can throw you some anecdotes and some ideas and things like that. But at the end of the day, I don't really know what you're dealing with and what you're working with. So what I can tell you that you control is your training and your nutrition regimen, and maybe that that can help with the physiological responses that you're having. So the first thing you need to look at is what is your post or your basically your nutrition training nutrition program. During your training time, are you getting in really good nutrition? Are you making it bang for your buck? If you're not, start doing that. There is such a thing as rebound hypoglycemia. There is such a thing as having a post-deficit, post-exercise, all these kind of things snap, if you will, in the body, physiological speaking. And it's not your mind telling you, it is your body telling you it is time to eat. It's kind of when, for example, some people, when they diet down and they eat, they can, you know, do carb cycling. They can have like low days and high days and bounce with their carbs high and low and this, that, and the other. Respond perfectly fine to it. Not an issue at all. You know, they can totally do that kind of bouncing and they can just do that for eons and eons and just mix in their refeeds with their deficits and it's no big deal whatsoever. Some people can't. Some people, once they get a taste of the carbohydrates or a taste of the higher calories, for various reasons and hormonal responses, it triggers I've been starving. It's time to eat. I've got to make up for lost time. And it triggers not only an emotional response, but an actual physical response will take place, causing your body to crave more carbohydrates, to have bigger sugar crashes, therefore causing you to be more shaky, wanting to eat more food, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where the yo-yo dieting effect can really come into play, because you go into a deficit, and it can even be a very short period of time deficit. And then you eat again and you bounce back, you eat more than what you lost in the first place. And that's how people can kind of go from being heavier than when they started, because it becomes this like continual cycle. So for people like that, sometimes what it's better to do is to go into longer spans of not eating and try and control best as they can their post-refeed. I talk about this a lot in a recent article about carbohydrate sensitivity. It's like a 3-part article. You get a quiz. You can kind of figure out where you land in that zone, and it gives you some ideas and tips for how to eat and what your macronutrient strategy might want to be. For example, for someone like you, you might want to focus a little bit on fats and proteins and more, fibrous carbohydrate sources during your cut. And then when you go back into a refeed or break program, if you are doing that, then, you know, focus on kind of really controlling your carbohydrates with really good carbohydrates and stuff. Doesn't make you quite so fangy, you know, whereas you might want to go for the sweets and things like that. It just may not be something that you can control during that period of your time. So stick to things like carrots or sweet potato starches and things like that, that are a little bit easier on the system and don't make you go over the edge. Because the whole point is to keep yourself from going over the edge and to guide yourself through that stage, because it will end once you get enough food. So if you can control that stage while it's going on, and if you can make it not so overboard, then you should be fine when you recover from it, and then you can kind of throw in the random treats. The point being that it may be while you're going through the section of your life that you do need to kind of stay away from higher GI carbohydrate sources, you know, except around training times only, because it may kind of trigger that effect until you're ready to handle it. If you're not doing refeeds, start doing them and just figure out how long to space them out and how long the space breaks out, because again, this could be your body's response telling you to chill out and not treat yourself so aggressively and to make sure to eat. So I know there's a lot there that I threw at you, but basically what I'm trying to say is this could be a very realistic physiological response that you're having and not just emotional, and to cover all those bases by breaking when you need to break, eating right when you need to, make sure to do your training, nutrition, and all that kind of stuff, and look at what's going to be the best strategy overall for you to achieve your goals. So, Kevin, if you have anything you want to add.
No, I just, this question hits home. It's something that I talked to Lee a little bit about earlier today, and it's, you know, you're not alone with this kind of stuff, Michelle, and it's, again, you got to remind, like, remember, like Lee said, it's kind of a response from your body. And I'm learning on how to address it myself by not being a, you know, doing too much training when you're in a deficit and stuff like that. And just keep us updated. Let us know how it goes and let us know if you're able to address those things. And if there's anything else we can do, please submit another email and we will make sure to answer that on the show.
Absolutely. And watch that volume. Watch the volume.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Mom. All right. Well, I think that's going to be a great place to wrap up the show. Actually, you might be hearing some more stuff. I don't know if we're going to have more stuff or not, but take a look at your iPod. You'll figure it out. But we do have an off-topic discussion. You can at least listen to that, where we talk about amazing discoveries.
Absolutely. It's Sweater Guy for the win.
Totally. And as always, don't forget to check out Lee's stuff at leepeel.com. You can also check out her podcast, which she does weekly. New episode just went up on Friday, I think. Am I correct?
Yes. Yesterday. Yes. Yes, on Friday it did. And it's an excellent one. I talk about interesting things like static electricity. I've become so boring. God. You can stop me talking.
Well, at least I'm just happy that you, I don't think it was like a couple weeks ago, you titled it Tune in Tokyo. Got to give you props for that one.
Oh my God. You got what that was? See?
Oh yeah. Who doesn't know what that is?
Like no one, because I got literally three different emails and people are like, what? I even addressed this.
Tokyo,
and,
huh?
But we're like, what are your podcast titles? Like, I just don't understand. And I'm like, you know, whatever. If you don't know what that is, that's just, it's sad. It's what it is. It's sad. Because you should.
You should. Again, you can check that out at leepeel.com. Also, you can subscribe to that podcast and the FitCast via iTunes. Submit reviews for both podcasts. You know, it's always good to have new reviews on the podcast. You can say how much you enjoy the new logo and
it's a good logo.
It's a pretty good logo, and it turned out well on the t-shirts. I'm really pumped. The gray t-shirts look awesome, and the black ones look awesome, and the white ones look awesome. I'm not gonna play favorites, but the there's that, and also check out the fitcast.com. As you can see, we've been posting stuff almost every day there, including the Fitcast accountability blog, new destination abs, updates with me with my shirt off after getting a day after getting some grass and work. I don't know, Lee, if you picked up on that, but that's why there was bruising on my chest and my lats. So
I haven't
been doing any weird stuff. It's been that's because I was getting some work.
Take all the fun out of my fantasizing.
It's totally just took a different direction this week. And I think that's it. So stick around. We might have some more stuff for you. At least we're going to have the off-topic. No, maybe accountability. We'll see. And actually, I'm going to give out a pink dumbbell award. The John Fast Pink Dumbbell Award this week is going to go to Michelle. I'm playing it, Lee. Come on.
No, you're not. You never play it.
I do. Yeah, I don't play
it. I haven't heard it except for like one time. Like
played it last week.
20 episodes ago.
Played it last week. I don't play it over the Skype. I have to do it in post-production. You just made all the magic go away.
magic this.
Whatever. I'm going to put in a special little sound clip just for Lee.
You got to make me listen to the episode.
I promise it won't be anything about calling you or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're just funny, Larrabee. You're a funny, funny man.
Pick up the phone!
You know. You don't have to be alone tonight. Yeah.
It's like that, you know, like that woman from Lost. This is off topic. Woman from Lost who did she actually did a phone sex commercial before she was on Lost. I'm like, whoops. All right. That's it for this week. Again, don't forget to do all that stuff I just said. Thanks for all your support. Buy some t-shirts.
Buy t-shirts.
I want to move out. See you next week.
I don't really think you're going to be making enough money via t-shirts to move out of your home.
No, I only make like $2 on each t-shirt.
Why don't you just, you know, pull like a screech and just start asking people to donate money so you can buy a house?
That's the dream.
Isn't it the dream?
All right, so do you guys have any questions before we get started? Anything you want to talk about?
No, I did send you a question, Kevin, if you wanted to bring it up, that's fine.
Yeah, I got a bunch of the questions. I know one of the things that you guys wanted to address was the end date of the... And we'll address that. I mean, one of the things is that I don't have, like, a set end date. If that's something that a lot of you guys want, then, yeah, I'll give you a date. It'd probably be, like, 60 or 90 days because I think that's what you're going to need to see significant progress. But other than that, we'll just – I wanted to kind of keep it free-flowing. And I like we have gotten – since this has started and you guys have noticed in the blog post that I've been adding people because more people, as they see you guys posting these blogs, they want to do it too. So maybe I don't know if this is something we would do in phases and we would have like a new group in 3 months or how we would do that. But this is still very much in the – testing stages. Like there is no, you know, set routine or set outline that we're gonna run off of this, and it's kind of just to see what people want to do and how people feel about it. And if, like I said, if you want an end date, we'll give you an end date, but I think something that people can do is set their own end date. Like, do you have a, like, is it going to be Memorial Day? You know, maybe it's like a vacation that you have coming up, something like that. I find works best for most people, but
yeah.
All right, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you guys about what you've been doing, and I'm going to try not to do much of the talking. I want to talk to you guys. I want to see. I want to hear what you guys have been doing and how you guys have been dealing with this transformation and dealing with the stress because as much as we don't want it to be, it is kind of a stressful situation to be either losing weight or gaining weight. So we will have lots of fun talking about that. And I have no problem saying that this is going to be uncensored. So feel free if things get crazy, things get crazy.
You know not who you're talking to.
Yeah.
I'm wild and crazy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I will say there's a stress aspect to it. You know, it's just trying to plan ahead, trying to, you know, get in the gym, trying to, you know, make sure you have, you know, the food you need for the week and what have you, just to get you through the day. You know, I don't work at a place where I can go out to lunch. I have to make sure I got everything there, you know, and if I get stuck there for a few extra hours, you know, I got to make sure I got something, you know, so I don't hit the vending machine.
Oh, yeah.
So it's stressful.
Oh, go ahead, Ken.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, that's a great place to start. Like, you know, what have you guys been doing in terms of preparation? Has there been a lot of preparation? Have you guys been going out, you know, like a lot of guys will post on the internet. Like, I know Craig Ballantyne says a lot, take Sunday and plan out all your meals, make all your meals for the week on Sunday so you don't have to worry about it. Have you guys been doing something like that, or do you do it the day of? Like, how you've been setting that up? And I'll start, go back to you, Ken.
Usually, I'm kind of a creature of habits. I eat kind of the same breakfast every day, so I know I just, you know, I'll take like a dozen eggs to work on you know, Tuesday morning's my first day, and then I'll just, you know, that'll be good because I'll just eat like two a day all week, and then, you know, wrap them up in a tortilla or what have you. And then usually, no, I don't plan for the whole week as far as my lunch and stuff. I'll just make sure I cook enough the night before, so I'll have, you know, a Tupperware to take into work the next day. And then I stock my locker with some natural peanut butter, and then I'll throw in like some of them Fiber One bars and stuff like that, maybe a piece of fruit or two, you know, to get me through day in and day out. So my preparation's kind of every evening I make sure I got, you know, something for the next day, because I start work at like 4:30 in the morning, so there's no way I'm going to be trying to, you know, throw anything together in the morning. You know, it's got to be a grab and go.
Do you mind telling people what you do for work?
I'm an airplane mechanic, and I work for UPS. So the planes come into the, they come into the city real early, you know, so that they can get all the packages off the airplanes and into the trucks and, you know, out to the houses.
Very cool.
So, the planes start coming in at like 5 in the morning, so.
Yeah, it sounds like it wouldn't leave you. Do you have like a lot of time to grab food, like every couple hours, or how do you set that up? Do you keep something in your pockets? Like how do you do that?
Yeah, I'm close to the office and close to the fridge and microwave, so I can always, you know, go in and sit down for 15 minutes if I want to. That's not a problem in that regard. It's just making sure I have it there, mm-hmm. because I can't really jump in my car and go get something.
Gotcha.
So I just got to make sure I plan ahead, which I didn't used to do that, and you know, I'd be sitting there and 4 hours into my shift and be, you know, jonesing for some peanuts out of the vending machine or cookies or something, you know. So that's something that I know is a downfall, so I just make sure I plan for it now.
How about you,
pretty good.
How about you, Larry? What have you been doing in terms of preparation, anything like that?
Yeah, my food is actually pretty simple. I work a very straight 9-to-5 job. I do 95% of the cooking in the household. So on Sunday night, I'll cook off a bunch of chicken breasts, chicken thighs, roast a couple of regular white potatoes and sweet potatoes. I have a huge rice steamer. I usually kick everything off on Sunday night, and then my wife and I chow down on it during the week. I almost always bring a lunch with me, and my standard, even dieting or losing weight lunch, is 4 or 5 ounces of some very lean meat, turkey breast, chicken breasts on some kind of whole wheat bread or high fiber bread. I have a protein bar at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I have a full dinner when I get home, which is the chicken breasts, chicken thighs, some other kind of meat with steamed spinach, broccoli, and one of the starches. The only thing I run into is my nighttime eating still. If I had a heavy workout or I did a double where I got both on the treadmill and worked out, I would really want to chew my arm off at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And I still don't know really how to cope with that. But usually in my evening meal, I try to have 5 meals in the day between 300 and 600 calories. I'll have yogurt mixed with protein powder or yogurt and an ounce of cereal mixed in, and then I call it quits. But again, it's that odd night when I do want to chew my arm off that I have the problems.
Gotcha. And how about for you, Amanda? Or Betty, for people on the blog.
Right, yeah. I rarely eat out at all. For the past possibly 2 years, I make everything from scratch. And now, on occasion, I slip up and I go grab a protein bar from the gas station or whatever, but I make those from scratch too. So really, for me, it's not that hard. I think another thing, I'm a creative director for a small company on the east side of Cleveland. So I'm, you know, pretty much an office job. And I think one of the advantages there is that we have a full kitchen at the office. We have a fridge, we have a convection oven, we have hot plates, we have everything. So a lot of times I just bring in the raw ingredients and just cook my lunch right there. So it's been really easy for me. Another thing to make it easier is that my breakfast, my morning snack, and my afternoon snack are pretty much the same thing every day, which doesn't really bother me. But then I mix it up for lunches and dinner and plan accordingly. So it's not been that bad.
Have for Betty or for Ken, have you guys had similar issues or similar like kind of hiccups like Larry when it comes to the late night stuff at all? And I'll ask Ken first just to keep it organized.
Okay.
I haven't yet. My wife's a real evening snacker, you know. She's always, you know, doing the ice cream and stuff like that. And she used to try to tempt me at times. But since I've been doing this, she's kind of, you know, she still does her thing. And I don't really get tempted because I go to bed pretty early. You know, I go to bed at, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I don't have a lot of time after dinner to kind of get hungry again, you know, if you will. So I haven't had too many, you know, too much temptation there. My temptation kind of comes, you know, about, you know, 45 minutes to an hour before dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of, I usually eat like a 3 o'clock snack and then, you know, eat dinner, you know, usually around six, but, you know, about 5 o'clock when the kids start eating dinner, I usually make their dinner a little bit earlier and, man, I want to grab something off their plate sometimes, you know, even though I know better, it's just tempting, you know, to finish up some of their, you know, leftovers or what have you. So that's tough.
I was actually going to toss it over to you, Amanda, first. And actually, you know, the thing that I would like to talk about afterwards, and I think that'd be really interesting and something that seems to need to be addressed a lot is, you know, what kind of boundaries do you face when it comes to family members? Do you find them trying to, you know, help or hurt your progress? But we'll talk to Amanda first.
Yeah, I got to agree. My biggest time of temptation has to be in between my afternoon snack and dinner. Because, you know, I usually make the dinner, so I'm home, and all of a sudden there's all this food in front of me, and I'm so tempted to snack before we actually have the actual meal. Late night really isn't an issue because I work out in the evenings. So usually I don't get to start working out until about 8 o'clock. So by the time I'm done, I have my post-workout shake and then I go to bed about, you know, an hour and a half later. So it's not been bad for me then. But yeah, that late afternoon evening just sucks. It's horrible. I'm, you know, tempted to, you know, grab a couple almonds or, you know, you walk in the door, you're starving, and you just want to get dinner done, and, oh, horrible.
Well, have you guys found anything that can help, you know, curb that hunger? Is there anything, you know, I mean, have you looked at, I mean, this is just throwing things against the wall, but found that, you know, the just too long in between meals, or you just need something in between, like those two meals. Like, what kind of time are we talking about between that that mid afternoon snack and dinner for you guys? And I'll go back to Ken first again.
Usually I try to eat something at 3 o'clock, and then I'll try to eat something again at, you know, and then dinner's planned for six, so it's 3 hours. And if I just eat like a cup of yogurt or something like that at 3 o'clock, then I'm starving by six, you know. So I've been trying to, you know, I got the idea from you, Kevin, is, you know, throw 15 almonds in there, or, you know, half a scoop of protein, or just, you know, just to make it a little bit bigger of a meal, you mm-hmm. know, maybe another, you know, however many calories that would be, you know, and it just kind of gives it a little bit more of a, maybe the fat or something gives it a little bit more, you know, stick to the ribs type feeling, you know.
Yeah, it's usually not more. I mean, if you're talking about just a scoop of protein or some almonds, it's like 100 calories. I mean, you can't.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Not even that much most of the time.
Yeah, and that's just enough to get me through.
And how about for you, Amanda?
Yeah, my savior has been almonds. I'll grab like 5 almonds, and that's just enough to curb whatever, you know, craziness is going on in my stomach right then. And, you know, allow me to not nibble while I'm making stuff and all that stuff. Been helping.
Gotcha. Well, let's go on to talking a little bit about the support that you guys have been getting. I know part of the reason we did the accountability blog was to get that online support or that you know, the accountability. So what has it been like in terms of your friends and family? How have they adjusted or how have they reacted to, you know, what you've decided to do, if it is something kind of outside the norm? And we'll start with Larry.
Yeah, I wish I had a great answer. My wife is already sugar and flour abstinence. So finding healthy choices in the house generally is not a problem, and she's very supportive of any attempt I make to lose weight, because I'm sure she prefers to have me thinner rather than heavier. Probably the only thing that's in the periphery is, even though I'm 56, I do have a four, almost five-year-old at home. He's a picky eater, and my wife very often buys for him, not for either of us, ice cream, cookies, and assortment of things. And I've got to tell you, I probably look at them five times a day, but don't eat them. But I was laughing before when Amanda was talking about having five almonds. I don't think I've ever seen just five almonds at a time.
I was going to say, that's a pretty good, you know, if you're going to have a hiccup. Man, five almonds, not bad.
I can't imagine that stopping whatever I'm experiencing. Well, what I have done, and I am a weigh and measure guy. So, I mean, I will get my thing of almonds out. I will take the lid off. I'll put the lid on the scale. I'll measure out an ounce, which I think is like 26 at a time. Mm-hmm. And that will be my tide over snack. But I got to tell you, even in the last two or three weeks, when I'm experiencing what I believe to be true hunger, not just a desire to eat, I will find myself having that extra tablespoon or two of natural peanut butter, you know, not just the almonds or something else like that. And unfortunately, when you're only operating at a 20% deficit, you say to yourself, I'm wiping out a day's worth of work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's tough to look at it that way. I mean, it's really interesting when you look at things that can kind of just fill up that gap. You know, just some things like I've talked about. I mean, unfortunately, talking about nighttime, one of the things that would help is something that's stimulating, like caffeine. You guys know I'm a big fan of caffeine, but the unfortunate part is it's going to keep you up. But yeah, with the natural peanut butter and stuff like that, I know for some people it can kind of be that door that kind of just that crack in the door that opens up, and then the floodgates open because peanut butter is kind of addicting for people who like peanut butter, and it kind of hits that. It hits that spot for some people that just is super satisfying, and that's why you hear a lot of people, they eat super clean, but then they end up going through a container of peanut butter every 2 days, and they wonder why they're still running into issues. But I mean, that it's nice. At least you have that a somewhat solid atmosphere. How about for Ken? What's it been like for you?
Usually, scoop of peanut butter will offset like my it'll offset kind of like a sugar craving. But as far as like the support from home, you know, like kind of when you emailed me back and, you know, told me you wanted me to be on board, you know, I just sat down with the wife and just said, hey, listen, I want to do this, you know, and she's always been supportive, and she's never thought I was overweight or anything like that. You know, she doesn't. And I just said, well, you know, then in that case, just, you know, just play along with me if you would, you know. And so she's been more than supportive. You know, she hasn't, we always would, you know, order out, once or twice a week. And so she's always like, well, where can we order that you can get something that, you know, fits into your day, you know. And so she's been, you know, making some concessions in that regard. So.
Very cool.
So it's been good there.
And how about for you, Amanda?
I'm fortunate because my boyfriend, who I live with, he's also into the healthy eating as well. My conundrum is that he is trying to bulk while I'm trying to lose some fat. So, you know, in the morning we're having breakfast and he's got 50 pounds of oatmeal, 50 eggs, and here I am with my, you know, egg white omelet. And it's kind of maddening, but I'm glad that he also understands what's going on there too. And we also do have two kids in the house. We have a 4-year-old and a 15-year-old that also like to eat a lot of food, but we try to keep, you know, all the processed food out of the house as well. You know, if they want cookies, then I'll make some. Actually, just this afternoon, I know we do actually have some leftover Christmas chocolate that's been sitting in the dining room, you know, since Christmas. Nobody's touched it. And my 4-year-old was down there by himself, and he was hungry. And instead of, you know, heading over for that chocolate orange, he went into the fridge and grabbed an apple. I was very proud of him for that. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I made French toast on or yesterday morning. I'm like, buddy, you want some too? And he's like, no, I want my kashi.
Wow.
Like, what's wrong with you, child? But yeah, it's been okay. The only issue is that, you know, the boyfriend needs to eat a crap load more calories than I do, so that, you know, the food has to be around.
Kind of moving off that, one of the things that we kind of, before we decided to get together, we put together, you know, some topics that we wanted to hit on. And one of it was progress frustration. And yeah, the person laughing, that's who I want to talk to. So talk to us a little bit about that. Like, what's been going on? What's frustrating? And then we'll go around and see if it's been similar for Larry and Ken.
Yeah.
Amanda posed the topic. I'm going to have her relay what's been going on first.
Well, yeah, as we all know, you know, making these body changes takes time, you know, and you know, you don't want them to happen overnight, but I'm a very impatient person, and I also get a little OCD, and I worry. So during that week, I'm like, am I doing the right stuff? Am I doing the right stuff? Maybe I ate too much. Maybe I ate too little. Oh, maybe I need more protein. And what I've noticed with my body changes is, like, you know, the first, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there's nothing. And then Thursday, Friday, it's like, bam, bam, something just changes. And those three, like, you know, those 3 or 4 days where you don't really notice anything going on, it drives me nuts all the time, and I get cranky. I'll go downstairs and do like an extra 10 push-ups or something. Take that, freaking almond I just ate. And you know, that it's taxing sometimes. And I don't know if, you know, anybody else, you know, suffered that affliction, or if they had ways of dealing with, you know, worrying about whether or not you're doing the right things.
Well, one of the questions I'll pose to you, is it a numbers thing? Is it a scale thing?
You know what? I'm trying very hard not to use the scale, because I know for a fact my body weight fluctuates as much as 5 pounds throughout the week. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm at, you know, 153. I can get up by Wednesday to like 159, and then I'm back down to 152 by Friday. So usually I'll weigh myself at Monday and then the Friday, but then, you know, some days I'll, you know, get a little nosy and I'll look. Of course, the doctor's appointment this week, Murphy's Law states that you weigh the heaviest.
Yeah.
When you go into the doctor and get weighed, you know, it's almost like at 160 or something ridiculous like that when I, you know, had my checkup this week. And so I think maybe also that I'm not, you know, checking that progress daily does help a little bit, but then it also leaves, you know, the uncertainty open as well. You know, okay, am I doing this? You know, how much do I weigh today? I'm not looking.
So is it basically like a situation of, am I doing everything that I possibly could right now?
Right.
Gotcha. I mean, this kind of goes into the same situation of how long to wait to determine whether, you know, you're getting the results or if what you're doing is working. And, you know, I think one of the things that we talked about earlier is, you know, what would I set up as like an end date? What are the phases going to be like? And I think, you know, if you want to gauge progress and see how something's working, like a minimum of 2 weeks to see if something's moving one direction or the other. In terms of boundaries or any kind of frustration, like, Larry, how do you feel that the progress has been so far for you? Have you had any frustration at all?
Yeah, the biggest frustration is almost always not on the eating side, because not that I have it under control. I don't think I do completely, but in an average good week, and I've already coming off a 50-pound plus weight loss, very consistently, I lose like a pound a week from the food effort and like a pound a week from the exercise effort. which is one of the reasons I think you can lose and sort of maintain, you know, the muscle at the same time. The biggest frustration I have is that I'm fighting with a shoulder issue now. And I do read a lot. I listen to, you know, Fitcast religiously, and I get a lot of the stuff, information on the internet. And every time I deviate from what I know I should be doing, I end up getting hurt. I went from doing 3 sets to 5 sets this week because I've heard a lot about 531, a lot of the other things. And going to that 5th set had an impact on my shoulder. So I had 3 days in a row where I couldn't even move it. Now I'm back. Come Monday morning, I'm sure I'm going to be able to do my regular workout. But I learned that my lesson, not to do 5, to do a maximum of 3 sets of anything I'm doing in any given day.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like, you get to, it's almost in that situation with your body as your laboratory. You're kind of seeing how far you can push it. I think you got your answer, and it's, I mean, once you learn it, it's just the problem of, or the issue that you don't make that mistake over and over again, which you see a lot of people, like, you see those yo-yo dieters, they kind of tend to do that quite a bit.
I try not to make that same mistake 2 times in a row.
Well, I hope you're back on 100% on Monday. How about for you, Ken? Have you run into any issues or any kind of, you know, frustrations where you're kind of banging your head against a wall?
Yeah, this week, actually, I think I only dropped like a 0.5 pound. And I knew once I got down to like 203 or 204, I knew that was kind of going to be a tough spot, because in the past I've always kind of went up and down, but the bottom side was always about 203, you know, unless I was, you know, really like training for an event or something, then I would get lower. So I knew when I knew, you know, like the first couple weeks, you know, I'd lose some weight. But now I'm like at that lower end, and I kind of got to break through it. And so, like, this week I only lost like 0.5 pound, and I was just, you know, I got on the scale this morning. I'm like, God damn, you know, I did pretty good all week. You know what I mean? I had a few little slip ups, but I did really good workouts, and nutritionally I had very minor slip ups, nothing more than I've had the weeks before, you know? So it just kind of was pretty frustrating this morning to just think I invested 7 days of, you know, trying to stay cool with it. And then, you know, 0.5 pound was my reward, you know? And you know, my wife was supportive and was like, you know, well, that, you know, that's fine. It's 0.5 pound's 0.5 pound. At least you didn't go up by 2 pounds. And so, you know, I thanked her for that, but it was still, I still would like to at least see 1 pound, you know, and I don't expect to do 3 or 4 pounds every week, but at least one. You know, so that's been a little bit frustrating. And that's scale weight. I do feel a little better. You know, I have been kind of, you know, measuring around my stomach. And my scale is like one of them old, what are they, Tanita or Tania or whatever. And it does have the body fat stuff on it. But I try not to go by that too much because, you know, that's kind of a water thing. And it fluctuates around quite a bit. So I think I'm going to quit even kind of looking at that, just kind of go by the weight and the measurements and the, you know, belt loops and stuff like that. But this week has been, you know, it's been kind of frustrating. So I'm hoping I'll, you know, kind of break through this, you know, kind of as a, you know, kind of a bottom, you know, break through it and be able to get down, you know, closer to 200 and stuff in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, the point that you brought up with the bioelectrical impedance scales, like any kind of, you know, unfortunately, it's actually one of the widest, most widely used forms to test body fat, because you can get it built into a scale. You see them at a lot of gyms where they have the handles where you just put your hands on the handles and it will actually give you a number. And the problem with that is, like you brought up, is one, A, the water, and B, they're usually incredibly inaccurate. Like, they're usually 5, 10, even 15% off. Because the, like, if you even try it, like, literally just try using a bioelectrical impedance body fat analyzer once and then go back to it 5 or 10 minutes later, it'll give you a completely different number.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's, the, I mean, unfortunately, it's the cheapest way to do it. And you hate to see commercial gyms use, they tend to use them a lot when they first get their clients. And, you know, the best thing that you guys are doing right now is that you're taking pictures, and, you know, pictures won't lie. Numbers can. And with, Larry brought up a great point. You know, it, putting on muscle and losing body fat at the same time is something that you can do. It's something that, you know, isn't going to happen if you're 10% body fat, unless you're cycling your calories very efficiently. But it's something that you can do. So it could have just been an issue where, you know, you're just putting on some more muscle, but you're still dropping body fat. Your body fat percentage is lower. And, you know, again, the pictures are going to tell the whole story.
Yeah, well, I want to support that evidence because I have one of I have a fancy pants scale in my bathroom, and it tells me that I'm 30% body fat versus the calipers that say 16.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to get that done is to, you know, get someone to take them with the calipers, and preferably someone that has done it before. One of the things that we learned through college is that, you know, you really aren't good at taking body fat percentages unless you've taken about 1,000, you've taken the body fat percentage with the calipers about 1,000 times. It really takes that long to get the measurements accurate. Unfortunately, due to, you know, the way the industry is, you'll see a lot of people, even in gyms, they'll have those, like even at bodybuilding.com, they sell like $5 body fat calipers that, you know, can really be way off because people just don't know how to get those folds correctly when they're analyzing. All right, I think we're at about the 30-minute mark. Let's wrap up with, what should we finish off with? Is there anything on your guys' minds before we wrap up, and anything that you wanted to talk about before we wrap up this session? And again, we'll shoot it to Larry first. We haven't talked to Larry in a little bit.
Kevin, I just want to say how much we appreciate what you're doing. It's just an amazing service you're providing. And, you know, I think as the group gets to know more about the group, we'll communicate with each other a little more. And I think that's also a good positive.
Oh, this is a ton of fun, man. This is a blast. I mean, I think the best thing I hope that comes across when, you know, Lee, I, and John and Tony do like the podcast is that we kind of like live and breathe this stuff because it is fun, and it's been a pleasure to see you guys progress so far in the blogs and all that stuff. And it's exciting, like when I get those in, like I'm pumped to see them tonight and tomorrow to start reading those emails. So I definitely appreciate it. And let's see, Amanda, do you have anything you wanted to hit on before we wrap up?
No, I just wanted to tell everybody thank you. I mean, you know, we're all in this together, and just watching everybody else's progress has been amazingly supportive. You know, because the majority of my friends are, you know, beer swilling club kids. And, you know, I say, well, I just made some cookies out of oatmeal. And they're like, well, I just downed 52 Twinkies. So there. So it's good to actually have the extra outlet and, you know, the camaraderie. And I hope that, you know, we are able to keep this up for as long as we can because, you know, it's been helping me immensely.
Absolutely. And how about you, Ken? Is there anything you wanted to talk about before we wrap?
No, I just, you know, I think, you know, the day you put out that you wanted to do an accountability thing, and it kind of fell right into, you know, kind of a moment for me where I was like, you know, I need to be accountable with somebody because doing it to myself is not working. You know, I've seen myself go up and down a few times, and yeah, I go to the gym, but yeah, I do like to skip the you know, the cardio side of things, and yeah, I do, you know, eat a little crazy sometimes, and so I just, the accountability thing was kind of good timing for me, and that's why I was like, you know, probably one of the first people that emailed you, like, yeah, I want to get on board this thing, because, man, I need somebody to kick my ass a little bit, or at least, you know, putting half naked pictures on the internet is like, you know what I mean? Like, seriously, I was like about ready to throw up my protein shake on the first day when you're like, yeah, they'll be up on Wednesday. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I was just like really, really nervous. And I just remember like when you were going through it, like the stuff you were doing with Lee and you were, you know, standing there in your underwear and stuff. And I was just like, man, this guy's got some big stones to be doing this, you know? Knowing that you got, you know, 1,000 listeners and Lee's got X number of listeners and, you know, everybody's looking at it, you know what I mean? And I was just like, man, what better motivation to make this guy you know, turn away from whatever it is your weakness, you know, beer or cookies or whatever, you know. So, yeah, just knowing that I gotta, you know, shoot in a picture of my underwear every Sunday kind of makes me go, man, I can't go out drinking tonight with the boys. I gotta watch it. So that's, you know, that's kind of the biggest thing is it just was the right timing for me as far as needing some accountability, you know. So, and I appreciate it, and I think all the guys really appreciate out of you, Kevin, because it's I know it's time consuming to put some of this stuff together.
Well, that's all right. I do have a stack of spike shooters that keep me awake, so I like to keep myself caffeinated throughout the day. And again, like I said, this is a blast to do. Like just talking to you guys for 30 minutes. Like I never met any of you before. We've conversed a little bit through email, but now it's really nice to actually be able to talk to you. And just echoing some of the stuff that you said, Ken. You know, Lee, again, going like back to like Lee and I, we're in no way special. We both have, you know, our own obstacles when it comes to like body composition, and I felt like the least I can do is kind of share that social pressure to have to put those pictures online. And you know what? People do talk about them. You know, for better or worse, you know, people have talked about the pictures of me on various forums. The best thing about Google is that you can actually see if people are talking about stuff that you're talking about, or you know, for my sense, it happened to be shirtless pictures. But it, you know, sometimes there's going to be haters, and I'm sure I know it's not easy to post pictures online, but you guys have gone above and beyond, you know, what thousands of others wouldn't want to do. So I think it's just as much, it says a lot about you guys, as it does about, me to put that stuff up there. We're all in the same boat, and you know, it still sucks to lose weight no matter, who you are. It's not easy. Or for some of the cases, I mean, it's great that we have a couple of people who are trying to put on muscle too. I mean, that sucks just as much for those ectomorphs. But, I just want to wrap up. I appreciate you guys taking some time out of your Sunday to talk and, you know, shoot the, you know, I don't want to swear, but, you know, shoot the shit and talk a little bit about this stuff, because it's very enlightening. It's good to talk to you guys and finally put at least a voice to those pictures. At least I can say that.
Well, thanks for having us, Kevin.
No, again, my pleasure, guys. I will let you go, and I look forward to, Ken, I already got your stuff, but I look forward to seeing everyone else's blogs and pictures later this week on the website.
Wonderful day, Dad. Thanks, Ken.
Take care, guys. I will talk to you later.
Thank you.
We're in the off topic right now. I'm with Lee Peel, LeePeel.com. What's up, Lee?
What up, Kevin?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I spent a lot of my week watching some Olympics and hanging out, playing some guitar. It's been a nice, relaxing week. Have you been watching any of the Olympics?
Unfortunately, I haven't. I haven't caught up on that. It's not super intriguing to me, unfortunately.
You're not down for the Olympics?
No.
Are you serious? You work at Mike Boyle's, but you don't watch the Olympics?
No, it's not like I root for specific teams. Like I'll root for the Celtics, the Red Sox, and you know, I don't have a. I mean, I guess I'd be Team USA, but
you get it.
Like first off, I hate the cold. I don't like cold weather, so I don't like cold weather sports.
Oh.
Maybe I should probably watch the hockey so I don't get yelled at, but...
I think so. I've decided that I'm going to become... my next goal in life is to become a curler.
Yeah, that's the new hotness these days.
Yeah. I'm going to become a curler. I mean, I think that anyone could really do it. They had, like, some 43-year-old woman on the Canadian curler team. That's awesome. So I'm going to go out for it, seriously. I think by the time I'm, like, you know, 35, I'll be able to do it.
Well, they have they had one woman that was pregnant. She was like 6 months pregnant while she was curling.
There you go.
So
if you can do it pregnant. Yeah. So, yeah, I can't believe you don't watch Olympics, though. I thought for sure I'd have something.
No, you know, it was tough because I usually get home like around 8 and I like to do something that's not in my profession when I get home. Very much like I would rather, you know, flip on like Thursday night. I came home and I watched Transporter. Jason Statham.
Oh, nice.
Like that's how I unwind.
Yeah, I could. Hey, I definitely, you know, 1, 2, and 3 fan.
Yeah, I got them all on Blu-ray, and I think I might watch. I don't know. I watched 1 on Thursday, so I might watch 2 tonight, and then 3 later.
I think the second one's my favorite.
It tends to be like it's very it's balls to the walls. It's fast paced. It's my mic probably sounds like it's shaking. I don't know why I use this damn mic when I'm literally right next to the laundry room in my house. Like, I don't know if you can hear that bouncing.
No, I don't hear it, but I can imagine, because there's this random moments where, like, all of a sudden it feels as if the, you know, washing machine is going to come through your wall.
Well, I keep all my supplements on the top shelf of my closet, so my supplements will, like, fall off the, fall off that top shelf, like, just randomly and scare the shit out of me. So that's always interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah.
That was good. That was good. I think that's going to be it for the off-topic. All I'm going to say.
You're ending it that soon.
Well, do you watch Lost? I know you're behind on Lost, so.
I don't watch Lost. Yeah, I know. Like the only thing I watched is the Amazing Race. I watched Amazing Race because I like Amazing Race.
Yeah. What, Stargate Atlantis? No, Stargate. No.
We have nothing in common. All right, fine. Let's just get started. This is sad.
I don't use my magic bullet, Lee. It's really bad. I use it for like nothing but like protein shakes, like ice and protein powder, and like nothing.
Wait, you don't use it to make amazing omelets for a smoking woman named Hazel?
What?
Your magic bullet.
Who's Hazel?
Oh my god, you've never seen the infomercial where like the like old woman comes out, she's like, "Hey, how you doing today? What's going on?" And they're like, "Hey, Hazel, I'm going to make you with this amazing omelet just out of these eggs and some chopped up ham." Like, you've never seen the...
I think I might have seen it, but, like, the only time when I... You know, Billy Mays, like, good for him. Like, he had a good run, but it was nothing like the guy on Amazing Discoveries. Like, that show was the shit when I was a kid. And
Sweater guy.
Had the guy that could read with his, like, he could read, like, 18 mm-hmm. pages a minute. And yep. I wanted that
speed reading course really bad, actually. Like, I really wanted that speed reading course when I was a kid.
It just made me want more Micro Machines because they had the Micro Machines guy on. And he was reading and trying to compete against
him. I remember that he did. He had the Micro Machine guy.
See, this is Sundays is the days that are the days that I go on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, Amazing Discovery.
You watch old infomercial nostalgia.
No. Oh, this is when I can, like last night at 12:30, I was looking up, I was on Wikipedia for some reason, I have no idea why I started, like, looking up information on the TV show Sliders. No idea. And I went on Wikipedia, and I was up to, like, 12:30 just reading stuff about Sliders, like, going from Wikipedia page to Wikipedia page, and I don't know. It's just the weekends are weird.
Well, I guess that's, you know, in my youth, my weekend nights were probably held to memorizing the commercials as they would come on, the music ones with the like compilation CDs. I could like sing every single one of those songs as the changes would happen. That's my sadness. But then again, like I was, you know, 14 years old, but still. Oh, you know, like as it, you know, especially like the metal ones or like the 80 ones, those were my favorite. I could go from song to song to song to
rock
song.
Ballads.
Yeah, you know, back then it wasn't called that, but you know, usually it was the solid gold like collections that, you know, or they would even have like a full 30-minute infomercial devoted to it. So I guess my 14-year-old child can relate to your sadness.
I just remember every one of those CDs had, what's that, like, Love is Up Where We Belong or something like that?
Where we belong.
Yeah, that song. That was in, like, all those compilations.
Oh, it was always, yes, absolutely. And then, you know, right after that would be followed by some sort of Phil Collins tune, you know? So take a look at me now, you know?
I like Phil.
Hey, there's not. I am not knocking Phil. I love Phil. Phil is the man.
I might need to get some Genesis today off iTunes.
Oh,
might be one of those days.
So are you a Phil Collins Genesis versus Peter Gabriel?
I don't know the feud. I like Peter Gabriel. Yeah. I like the Sledgehammer video. Like, that was my favorite video when I was like six.
It's Dancing Chickens. How can you not like it?
Is that Sledge? And I also like Paul Simon, like randomly Paul Simon song with Chevy Chase. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you look at my random mix that I just did for the Guilty Pleasure CD, it's on there. You can call me Al, baby.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's a good song.
It's a good song.
I might have to make that the opening music for this week's show.
I think you should.
I'm gonna write that down right now, just in case I have to do that. All right, now I'm on YouTube. Amazing Discoveries. They seem to have quite a lot of these videos. Mike was the host, and he had those fantastic lines on his sweater.
Oh no, I know. Like he looked like a mix between like Bob Saget and the guy that sells the books with the question marks and the government grants. It's like some sort of freaky combination of the two of those guys. Love that thing, man.
God, I love this country.
It's a good country. You know? In which that somebody like that can become a pop culture icon.
Indeed. I think that is I think that's it. Unless you want to talk about Dr. Oz.
I think we've covered it.
Yeah. Let's leave Dr. Oz for another time. Hope you enjoyed the off-topic and that the show was good.